I want you to take your Bibles and open them with me to the book of Romans. I'll be reading from Romans, the first chapter, and the Lord willing, the first six verses will serve as a text for this message. Now, here's the subject. The business called preaching. That's what I'm going to be speaking about today. This business called preaching. What is this business called preaching? I've been preaching for a long time, about 35 years, and I'm interested in this business called preaching. Now, I think many people have a wrong idea of preaching and preachers, and I hope to help you to understand this business called preaching. Now, gospel preaching is more than a religious ceremony. In most churches, we sing a while and we pray a prayer, and then we take up an offering and have a choir special, and then someone called a preacher stands up, someone with a strong voice. He stands up and delivers a sermon. Now, he's expected to deliver a sermon in a strong enough voice to drown out all the crying babies. He's expected to preach loud and long. He's expected to keep the attention of people who are really not interested. And sometimes he's expected to preach without even breathing, but only hollering. Now, in some places, preaching has taken second place to other activities, and they have very little preaching. But they do go along with their ceremonies. And then gospel preaching is more than the opposite of that, a dry, dead, doctrinal lecture designed for Sunday morning. And gospel preaching is more than a rehearsal of the rules of morality and an exhortation to live a good moral life. What is gospel preaching? What is this business called preaching? I believe the average person has the wrong concept of preaching altogether. Let me say this. Now listen carefully. This business called preaching, gospel preaching, you know what it is? What it's supposed to be. It is God speaking to people through His servant. That's what preaching is. It is God speaking to people. It is a man declaring the Word of God and the message of God, God Almighty, for that day. The true preacher is not speaking for himself. He's not speaking for his denomination. I'm talking about the true preacher. He's not preaching or teaching or speaking for a social cause. If he's God's preacher, if he's preaching God's word, then that man at that time is speaking for God Almighty. Now that's true gospel preaching. Listen to the scripture. Matthew 3, verse 1 and 2. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. God sent this man with his message to the people of his day. In that day came John the Baptist preaching. This man was sent from God to preach. Listen to this scripture, Mark 16. This is our Lord speaking to his disciples. He said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye, therefore, and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth." Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. "We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ." Now listen. "As though God himself did beseech you by us, we come to you and speak to you," he said, "in the stead of Christ." That doesn't mean we're vicars of Christ at all. That doesn't mean that we're substitutes for Christ. It means just what he's saying. We're ambassadors for Christ. "Be ye reconciled to God." So here's what I'm saying. Preaching is not just hollering. It's not just delivering a sermon on Sunday morning. It's not just delivering a dry, dead lecture to a group of uninterested people. It's not just taking up time on Sunday morning going through a ritual or a ceremony. But true preaching, if a man is preaching, he is sent from God to deliver God's message at that time to those people. Now, the true preacher of the Word of God is to be heard. Now, that's my responsibility. Now, here's your responsibility. The Bible is full of warnings to those who will not hear. Take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear," Christ said. But now the Bible is full of warnings to those who will not hear, who will not believe, who will not listen. Listen to Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Now carefully listen to this. Our Lord Jesus is speaking. He's saying to his preachers, to his disciples, "He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me." And then listen to this. "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." But now wait a minute. "Woe is unto you if I preach the gospel and you do not hear it." It works both ways, doesn't it? God pronounces a solemn woe upon the preacher who does not preach his gospel. We say that man ought to preach the gospel. He ought to be true to his God. He ought to be true to the word of God. Well, that's so. If we speak not according to the word, it's because there's no light in us, no morning or no dawn in us. That's what the Amplified said. But now, wait a minute. Equally so, our God pronounces a woe upon those who will not hear his word and will not believe it. Listen to Hebrews 4:2. "The gospel was preached to them, but the word preached to them did not profit them, not being received by faith of them that heard it." So, what is preaching? It's God speaking at that time to you through his servant. And you are under obligation to hear what the Lord saith. Now, turn to that passage in Romans that I mentioned to you at the beginning of the message. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. Now, Paul's epistle to the Romans is preaching at its best. It's preaching at its very best. And the first six verses give us what I call the introduction to gospel preaching. It is good for if there's preachers listening to this program today, it's good for preachers. It's good for every one of us that we might be good hearers. I want to be a good preacher of the word. And you ought to want to be a good hearer. If God is speaking through me, then you ought to want to hear what God says. If God is speaking somewhere through someone, and he hath not left himself without a witness, and you ought to seek with all your heart to hear what God has to say to you from his word in this day. Now, I want you to watch this. The Apostle Paul, in the first six verses of Romans 1, first of all, he identifies God's preacher. And then secondly, he defines God's gospel. And then thirdly, he describes his master. And then fourthly, he describes those who are in his congregation, or the hearers. Now, first he describes the preacher, and then he describes the preacher's message, and then he identifies the preacher's Lord and master, and then he describes the people who hear the message, the congregation. That'll be this business called preaching. That's what we're talking about. I tried to show you what it's not just hollering. It's not just a dry lecture. It's not just a lecture on morality and be a good person and all that. It's God speaking. God speaking. True preaching is God speaking in this day through his word. Now, listen to Paul. Paul identifies the preacher. Verse 1. You see it there? He says, he calls himself Paul. He says, "Paul, a bondslave, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel." Now, let's look at the first word. Here, Paul identifies God's preacher. He says, "Paul." The true servants of Christ were never fond of titles and worldly honor. You'll never find God's true preacher seeking to be known by titles or to be called by a title or seeking the fame and honor and applause of this world. They just never do. They never call themselves Pope, nowhere in the Bible. They never call themselves cardinals, nowhere in the Word of God. They never call themselves doctors. They never call themselves reverend. Just Peter, James, John, and Paul. That's the first thing you run into in this verse, Paul. Now, what's the second thing? He's identifying God's preacher, the one who brings God's message in this day. He says, "I'm a servant." I'm a servant. Now, the word comes from the word bondslave over there in the Old Testament when a person had gained his freedom after serving 7 years and he was allowed to go free, but he didn't want to go free. He says, "I'm content. I love my master. I love my master's house. I love my work. I want to stay with my master as a willing, loving bondservant." set free, but this is my own. The only freedom I want is to serve my master. That was a bond servant. And that's what Paul called himself, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a sense in which the preacher is the servant of men. Yes, there is. Even our master said he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give himself a ransom. So there's a sense in which God's preacher is a servant of all men. You remember Paul said this, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Christ's sake. And there's a sense in which we are the servants of men, in that we serve, in that we minister. But we seek only to please him who is our master. Paul said on one occasion, if I please men, I'm not the servant of Christ. So we don't get our message to please our congregation or to satisfy the whims and will of flesh. You know, one of the signs of the last days is that people will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and turn away their ears from the truth. We are his servants, his bond slaves. We do his duty, his commandments. We carry on his work, and we serve you in doing so. Now, watch the third thing. The preacher is to be heard and respected for the sake of his master and the sake of his gospel, but he's not to be exalted. He's not to be revered because he's only a man. Peter said in Acts 10:26, I myself am a man. Paul said in Acts 14:16, we also are men of like passions with you. Our Lord said in Matthew 23, call no man your father upon the earth. One is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. And he that's greatest among you, let him be your servant. Richard Baxter, I believe, summed it up when he said, I preach as a dying man to dying men. I preach as one who may never preach again. We are but frail flesh. But wait a minute. Paul says, he calls himself Paul, not Cardinal Paul or Bishop Paul, but just Paul. He called himself a bond slave, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. But he did call himself an apostle of Jesus Christ. Though Paul was a humble man, though he was the servant of Christ, he did not deny his office. He still owned the fact that he was called of God, called to be an apostle. Not made an apostle by men, not even made an apostle by his own will, but called to be an apostle, sent of God with God's message. He knew it. He knew it. He knew he was God's servant. He knew God's hand was upon him. He knew he was ordained of God. He knew he was sent of God. Now that's God's preacher. That's God's preacher. All right, notice secondly, in the next verse, he defines his gospel. He said, I'm separated unto the gospel of God. The gospel of God. It is the gospel of God. Someone awarded Pastor John Gill with a D.D. Someone conferred a D.D. That's an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree upon Dr. John Gill. They called him Dr. John Gill. They awarded him that degree, and this is what he had to say. He said, I neither thought it, sought it, nor bought it. And my friends, that's true of the gospel. It is the gift of God. I never thought it. I never sought it. I never bought it. It's God's gospel. That's what Paul is saying here. The gospel to which I'm separated, the gospel which I preach, the gospel which I've been called to proclaim is not my gospel. It's not a denominational gospel. It did not come out of the councils of Rome or the councils of men. It's God's gospel. God Almighty purposed it. He purposed from the foundation of the world to save a people. God Almighty planned it in his eternal counsels of grace. God Almighty purchased it in that he sent his Son into this world in the fullness of time. God sent his Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God vested all glory in Christ, all grace in Christ, all mercy in Christ, all the gifts of grace in Christ, all redemption in Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. God sent him to the cross. It pleased the Father to bruise him, and God Almighty applies the work by the power of his Spirit, which his dear beloved Son purchased. For Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. It's God's gospel. I wish I could emphasize that. I wish there was some way that I had the ability and the power to press upon you the fact that this gospel that I'm trying to preach is not something I invented or some man invented or something that came out of the councils of Trent or Rome or anywhere else. This gospel is God's gospel. It's the heaven plan gospel. It's the heaven sent gospel. It's the gospel of God. And not only that, but listen to the next verse. It's the ancient gospel. There's not two gospels or three gospels. There's only one gospel. Only one gospel. He said, I'm separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel is no new message of hope. Now listen to me. It's not even a New Testament message. Somebody says we have a New Testament church or we preach a New Testament message. Now, wait a minute. The gospel is no New Testament gospel. It's the everlasting gospel. It's the eternal gospel. The gospel's as old as God because it was born of God's mercy and God's grace. And it's the gospel that's in tune with and in accord with God's justice and righteousness. And it's the gospel that's born of the heart of God through the Son of God. It's the eternal gospel. It's the ancient gospel. It's the gospel God preached to Adam and Eve. The gospel God preached to Adam and Eve was not a gospel of works. It was a gospel of blood, a gospel of grace. It's a gospel of the virgin-born son. That's the gospel God preached to Adam and Eve. Go back to the garden when man first fell, and God slew an animal, shed blood of an innocent victim to cover the nakedness of this fallen couple. You see, that sacrifice, that's a sacrifice, and that's a shedding of blood, and that's a covering with righteousness that covers our sins. And God said to Eve, you'll have a son. He said to the serpent, he said, the seed of woman will bruise your head, talking to the father of evil, Satan. The seed of woman. Who is the seed of woman? Virgin born. You're not the seed of woman. I'm not the seed of woman. I'm the seed of man. Christ is the seed of woman. It's an ancient gospel. The gospel I'm preaching right here in 1982 was the gospel Almighty God presented to our fallen mother and father in the Garden of Eden. It was the gospel Abraham believed and saw and rejoiced in. Abraham, Christ said, saw my day. He saw it and rejoiced. It made his heart glad. You know what he said to his son Isaac? God will provide himself a lamb. Christ is the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ is the lamb slain in the Old Testament types and shadows and symbols. Christ is the lamb slain on Calvary's cross. And Christ is the lamb in the book of Revelations, a lamb in the midst of the throne as if it had been slain. It's no new gospel. Moses wrote of me, Christ said. Moses wrote of me. The Old Testament, the whole Old Testament is Christ Jesus in his sacrifice, in his death, burial, and resurrection, in picture and type and symbol. That tabernacle, that's Christ. The priesthood, the sacrifices, the Passover is Christ. That rock that gave forth water is Christ. The brazen serpent lifted up is Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross. Luke 24:44, our Lord said, these are the words I spake unto you when I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Paul is defining his gospel. He introduced us to God's preacher. And now he's identifying God's gospel. It's the gospel of God. It's the old gospel, the ancient gospel, the everlasting gospel, ever new gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. Watch that next line. Concerning his son. See that? Paul, just plain Paul, that's all. A man of like passion. A man just like you. A sinner saved by grace. But called to be an apostle and a bondservant of Jesus Christ. But I'm separated, consecrated, dedicated to preach this gospel. Whatever it costs, whatever it costs, whoever it wounds, whoever God's pleased, to save by it, separated to the gospel of God, not man's gospel or denominational gospel, the gospel of God, which he promised before in the Old Testament, in the prophets, in the Psalm, concerning his son. That's what the gospel is. It's not a plan. Somebody said, I'm going to talk about the plan of salvation. Salvation is not a plan, it's a person. And you'll miss salvation resting in a plan or a proposition or a decision. Salvation is a person. The gospel is a person. It's concerning his son. And it's concerning everything about his son from eternity past to eternity future. Christ has always been our Savior, our substitute, and whatever he is or whatever he did, or whatever office he occupies, from the time he was our surety in the everlasting covenant until the time that he'll come again and open the graves and change our bodies into the likeness of his glorious body, that's all part of his redemptive work. Not just the cross that saves, it's the life of Christ that saves. It's the intercession of Christ that saves. He's our eternal surety. He's our representative. By his obedience, we're made righteous. He's our atonement. He's our sin offering. He's our risen justifier. He's our ascended king. He's our interceding mediator. He's our great high priest. He's our coming king, kings and Lord of lords. Christ Jesus. That the gospel's concerning his son. Don't miss the gospel by getting wrapped up in a theology or a creed or a plan or a proposition. The gospel is a person. Abraham, who lived long before Calvary, was redeemed and had righteousness imputed to him by believing God. Believing God. That God was able to do all that he promised. And here I am, 1982 years on this side of the cross, and I'm saved the same way by believing God. Not believing in a finished work, but believing in a person who finished the work. And the work's not finished yet. That work. Oh, his death is finished. The sacrifices are all finished and put away. The debt is paid. But he's going to make me just like himself, and that hasn't been done yet. My salvation nearer than when I believed. Now, Paul describes his Lord. He describes this Lord who is the gospel. He says, first of all, the gospel concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. Made of the seed of David. We're talking here about his human nature. Now, I get confused about Jesus Christ, preacher. When you talk about Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, he's the Son of Man. Made of the seed of David, a Jew, an Israelite, born of Jewish parents, born of the seed of David. That's right, the house and lineage of David, right on down the line. John 1:14 says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Galatians 4:4 said he was made of a woman. He who made woman was made of a woman. Galatians 4:5 said he was made under the law. Isaiah 9:6 says a child is born. Yes, he was the Son of Man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. Pilate said, behold the man. Jesus Christ is a man. You say, Jesus Christ is only a man. Wait a minute, take out the only. Jesus Christ is a man, but not only a man. He is a man. Now watch the next line. It's concerning his son who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. In the flesh he was a man from the house and lineage of David, the heir of David's throne. That's right. But it says in the next line, and declared to be the Son of God. Not made the Son of God. Not created the Son of God. Declared to be the Son of God. That's right. He always is and was and will be the Son of God. The one who was born from the womb of Mary was a child, a human child, a little infant, born in flesh and bones and blood, just like us. But the one who inhabited that body, who limited himself, who came into this world and clothed himself in that body is none other than the one who clothed this universe with stars, the one who made the universe, the one who reigns and rules over all things. That's right. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made, and he was made flesh. That's right. He's the man, Son of Man, perfect man. He's the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, the exact image of the Father. He that has seen me, Christ said, hath seen God. Had seen my Father. That's exactly right. All right, his resurrection from the dead. God raised him from the dead. The Father raised him from the dead. The Father is saying by his resurrection that all that Christ is and all that Christ did and all that Christ will do is accepted the Father on behalf of those whom he represented. Did he represent you? Did he represent me? He is our righteousness, our wisdom, our redemption, our sanctification, our sin offering, our substitute. All things are in Christ. And whatever he did, for whomever he perfected it and performed it and purchased it, the Father says, I accept it. I accept him and them in him. That's where you need to be, in Christ. In Christ. Because that's where God's mercy is, and that's where God's blessings is in Christ. Now watch the last thing. Paul describes the believer, verse 5 and 6. He says, first of all, we've received grace. It's by grace that we're saved. Not by work, not by merit, not by earning, by grace alone. It's the gift of God. Now, we earn the wages of sin. We deserve the wages of sin. If anybody goes to hell, it'll be his own fault. If anybody goes to heaven, it'll be God's fault. He'll praise God forever. He'll say, grace taught my heart to fear, and grace did my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Grace. We've received grace. Secondly, we've received faith. You see it there in verse 5? We've received faith. Faith's the gift of God. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You want faith? Go to God. He's the source of faith. He's the fountain of all good things. We have been called of God, and we are beloved of God. We have received grace, faith, apostleship, been called of God. We are his beloved.